There's a Gemara in Bava Kamma that says that there were two Talmidim sitting in front of one of the Amoraim. They kept arguing what the Rebbe should talk about. One wanted to hear something in Halacha, and one wanted to hear something in Agada, what we call today Hashkafa. And each one was arguing Halacha, Hashkafa, and as the Rebbe would start talking Halacha, the other Talmud insisted Hashkafa and Agada. And as the Rebbe started saying Hashkafa, another Talmud started insisting on Halacha. And kind of cutting to the chase, without mentioning the whole Gemara, what the Rebbe tried to do, he tried to say something that had both halachic and hashkafic aspects as well. And one of the big yisodos that comes out of the Gemara, we often view halacha and hashkafa as two separate areas. You know, there's halacha that tells you what to do, and hashkafa is like the philosophy, and these two things are really very distinct and different from each other. In reality, there's a fusion between the two, not just because the two are important, but the two are greatly interrelated. Rav Soloveitchik was a master, I mean, he was not the only one, he was a master, trying to show that halakhic literature and halakhic material has some very, very important hashkafic implications, and that's what I'm going to try to do today. I'm going to discuss a question in halakha, a very interesting question in halakha, and what I'd like to do is try to bring some hashkafic implications which I think are really important in terms of what happens to you this year and during the break and hopefully years to come. Before I get into the question in halacha, I would like to just introduce to you two or three points that will serve as a background to the halacha discussion. I'm going to speak about a sphere somewhere. And I brought here in source one, the psukim, Vadaver Hashem Moshe Leimar, Daver Bnei Yisrael, Vamat Alhem, Kitabol Haaretz, Asher Anino Selachem, Uksartem, Ktsira, Vavisam, As Omer, Reishis Ktsirchem El HaKoyim. Okay? It talks about there's a Korban Omer, that the day after the first day of Pesach, there's a special Korban that's brought Korban HaOmer. We don't have to discuss exactly the details, but that's not so relevant to us. So you bring this Korban. What do you do after that? Usfartem Lachem Acharis HaShabbos, Meyem Avichem Es Omer HaPufash, Sheva Shabbosos Meos Tihena. You have to count. You have to count 7 weeks, okay, what we call Sefiras HaOmer. Admei Acharas HaShavah Shviyis Tisipur HaMishim Yom, and you have to count 50 days, okay? This year in our morning shiur, we discussed whether Sefiras HaOmer is Mitzvah Zaseh Shel Asher Zman Groma. It's not Mitzvah Zaseh Shel Zman Groma, a very fascinating discussion in Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Also related issue, to what degree is Sefiras HaOmer its own mitzvah versus it's connected to the Korban. So we have a mitzvah, Sefiras HaOmer, that we are familiar with. I'd like to talk about two introductions that are related to us. If you notice, the second source is a Sefer HaChinuch. He writes the last two lines, right before source three, Vonoheges mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer midaraisa b'chol makom b'scharin, okay, b'zman b'bayish yesh sham Omer u'midarabanon b'chol makom v'afilu hayom she'en Omer, and so on and so forth. The sheet of Sefer HaChinuch is that today Sefiras HaOmer is only d'ndarabanon. It's only midaraisa when there is Israel, there's a Beis HaMikdash and there's Korban HaOmer. Today there's a mitzvah for all of us to count. But that mitzvah is only of rabbinic nature. Not everyone agrees to this. If you see on page 3, the Rambam paskins that Sefiras HaOmer, that obviously Korban Omer is dependent on the Beis HaMikdash, but Sefiras HaOmer, mitzvah zo, this halacha vavdalet, al kol ish mi Yisrael, ubechol makom, ubechol zman. The Rambam understands that today the mitzvah of Sefiras HaOmer is a din d'oraisa. So, okay, what we have in the mitzvah, Sefiras HaOmer, machlokes rishonim, whether today, when there's no korban, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa or it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That's issue number one. Issue number two, the Tosfos in Maseches Menachos writes the following. Od Pasag, this is source number four, Behil Halachos Gedolos, Shim Hifsik Yom Echad, V'lo sofar, shuv eino sofer, mishum devoyot mimos. Okay? Says the Bahag that you're counting 49 days. Okay, counting 49 days. 39 malach is 49 days, right? Counting 49 days. What happens if you miss one day? What happens if you miss one day? Says the Bahag, that's it. You missed out. Don't have to count anymore. Why? Because the Pasuk says they have to be tmimos, the weeks and the days. The count has to be tummy. It has to be complete. If you miss out on one day, you've lost it. The Tosfos himself says, "V'teima dolahu." Jeremy, teima. What's teima? Keyword. Teima. Guys, teima. Teima. Bewilderment. It's akasha. It's very hard to understand. Teima gdolo. It's a difficulty. V'lo yitochen. It makes no sense. Tosfos says, Bahak says, if you miss one day, that's if you've lost on the whole mitzvah. It's a teima gdolo. It's lo yitochen. It doesn't make any sense. The Sefer HaChinuch, if you go back to source number two, not the last two lines, but three lines before that, then underlined. V'yesha omru, shemisha shachach v'lo mana yom achad. There are those who hold, if you forgot one day, shen yacholim not od b'osa shana, that year you've lost it. You can't count anymore. Why? L'fishukulam mitzvah achasi, because it's all one mitzvah, right? So if you miss one day, you have an incomplete mitzvah. If you miss day number 25, that's it, it's all over. You missed out. Says Sefer HaChinuch, v'mikevam sheshachach mehen yom echad hari kol ha-cheshbon batal mimeno, since you missed one day, the whole cheshbon, the whole calculation is gone, destroyed. V'lohodem o'reinu, shebedareinu l'svarzu arav, the rabbis of my generation did not accept this svara, this logic. It's very interesting. He says, if you miss a day, you should say, yesterday was such and such day. Interesting, what exactly does that accomplish? That should be done without a bracha. Umona ha'acherim in kol Yisrael, and the rest you count with the rest of the Jews, supposedly with a bracha. Okay, so you have this das yachid, this opinion of one of the Gdol Yisrael, the Bahag, that if you miss one day, it's all over. But it sounds like, from the various different sources, we saw that it was not really not accepted lahalacha. Interesting, if you look at source number 5, the Shulchan Aruch, how do we pass in lahalacha? The Shulchan Aruch says the following, Im shachach levarech be'echad mehayomim, you forgot to count one of the days, ben yom rishon ben mishar yomim, what should you do? Sofer b'shar yomim below bracha. Okay, below bracha. Avalim hu mesupak im dileg yom echad. So Shulchan Aruch passes halacha the following way. If you forgot to count one day, what do? You keep counting, but with no bracha. Why does he pass in that way? Why does he pass in the way? Count, with no bracha.
To be choshev
for all the opinions. On one hand, majority of Rishonim, vast majority of Rishonim, hold that you have to keep counting, so keep doing it. But since Safed brachas lahakel, so you should be machmir and not make the bracha. But again, just point, this is not related, not so important to us. But you should just know, if that's only if you for sure missed. If you're not sure, you can keep counting. Okay, keep counting with a bracha. Okay, if you're not sure, I don't know. I counted, I didn't count. I'm not sure, but therefore you can count with a bracha. Okay, so that's a shot. That's a shulchan aruch. Okay. Yeah.
Which rabbi holds that you missed out completely?
Bahag. Quote in the Tosfos.
So why wouldn't he hold like the Shulchan Aruch?
Well, Bahak can be for the Shulchan Aruch.
No, I'm saying, I know. So why didn't he have? Why wasn't he of that opinion? They're not having heard it, but why? Like, what would be the harm?
Okay, because the Bahag held that the mitzvah. We'll talk about exactly what the svara was, but the way that at least the Chinuch explains it, he understands that seemingly each day is like 1/49th of the mitzvah. So if you missed out on the day, that's it. You're done.
No point counting.
Yeah, no point to count. Okay. Yeah.
What if you miss it at night? Do you still say the bracha?
Yeah. No, you can count during the day without a bracha.
Is that still considered as if you counted?
Yeah. The Gemara discusses why that is, but if you do count it during the day, it's still going to be tmimos. It's still going to be a complete mitzvah. Good. Very good question. Yeah.
One question.
Yes.
If you don't remember if you said it or not, do you, the next day, do you say, as I think Bahag said, you say yesterday was whatever, and then you can still count with the bracha?
You mean you may have missed the whole day?
I'm not sure whether you missed it or not, whether you said the bracha.
No, you should just keep counting with it. Keep counting with the bracha. You don't have to say yesterday. Again, that's its own topic. Very good question. The following question, which I'd like to pose to you. Once we know about Sfiras HaOmer, we know there's a machlokas with us, the Raisa, the Rabbanan. And that we know that there's a machlokas, whether if you miss a day, have you lost on everything, or you haven't lost on everything, how it possible? The following shaila. You have a young man who's 10 years old. So should he count to your son? The answer is yes. And should mechanech him with her? It's an interesting question. Certainly women should count. Should they count with a bracha, without a bracha? It's an interesting question for itself. Let's say make it easy. Young man, he's 10 years old. Higia lechinuch. He counts Sirah Sa'omar with the bracha. The parents should make sure he counts. So on and so forth. He's 10. He does the 10. He does it when he's 11. Now he's 12 years old. It happens to be his birthday falls out smack in the middle of Sirah Sa'omar. Somewhere in the middle, say it falls out on the 10th day. It doesn't really make much of a difference, but it falls out on the 10th day. The shaila is, should he start counting with a bracha? And can he continue making a bracha after he becomes bar mitzvah? Now you'll say, what's the problem? He started. He didn't miss. He should finish. The problem is actually partially in the Maseches Brachos that you have learned. We'll get to that Gemara in a second, but there's a Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that discusses Tkiyas Shofar, and it says, this is source number 6, Chereshot v'katon ein motzines harabim yedei chavasan, zaklal kol she'ena mechuyuv bedover ena motzines harabim yedei chavasan. If you're not obligated in something, you can't be motzi other people. Meaning, I'll come to you in a second, just to make sure we cover. If I'm chayav in benching, you're chayav in benching, so I can be motzi in benching. If I'm chayav in shofar, and you're chayav in shofar, so I can be motzi in shofar. But if for some reason I'm not chayav, like in the case of a becher shot v'kotin, who have no das, since they're not chayav, they can't be motzi other people. This is a major principle in halakha. If you turn to the next page, Gemara Maseches Brachos, okay? So Gemara, hopefully you saw in Daf Chaf, the Gemara there discusses whether a child can be motzi his parent in Birkas HaMazon. And the Gemara, if you remember, again, just for the sake of time, I'm going to read the whole thing. The Gemara, if you remember, there says the following. If the father is chayav midaraisa, and the child is only chayav midarabanan, because he's a katan, he's chayav in terms of chinuch, the child cannot be motzi the father. Right? Based on the rule that we saw in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah. But what? There's an exception. Well, not exception, but what happens if the father is only chayav midarabanan? How can a father be chayav in benching only with the rabbanon?
He's less like
Zayis. Not exactly less like Zayis, but you're in the right direction. He's less than Sviya, right? He eats like Zayis, but not Sviya, which is only chayav in the rabbanon. So now you have a child who ate enough in his chayav in the rabbanon because of chinuch. You have a father who ate a small shear. Okay, he's chayav de rabbanan. In such a case, a child can be motzi his father. That's what the Gemara says. The Tosfos, in several places, asks the following question. According to the Chachamim, Gemara Maseches Megillah, the Mishnah says, Akot Sherin Likras is Megillah, Chutz Mecher Shot Mekotam. A Kotam cannot read Megillah and be motzi everyone else. This obviously begs the question. What's that? What question can we ask? Yes.
If Megillah is the Rabbanan, they could, and shouldn't a Kohen be able to motzi everyone else because he's also the Rabbanan?
Exactly. Since Kriyas Megillah is only mitzvah the Rabbanan, okay, for everyone, for adults, and a child obviously is only mechuyav the Rabbanan, so why can't a Kohen, according to the Chachamim, motzi the adults? The Tosu gives two answers to this question, but there's one answer that interestingly, the second answer interests me. It also says the following, again, just for the sake of time, we'll say it outside, you guys can take a look inside. Think about for a second about the chiv of the father. The chiv of the father is midarabonon. But the chiv of the child is a step below that. Why is that? Because even that mitzvah midarabonon, he's only chayv midarabonon, mishum chinuch. Right? So he's actually a step below the father. And the Tosfos, by the way, explains, in what case can a child be motzi his father in benching? That's only if the father ate less than a shir sviya, but the child ate more than a shir or sviya, shir sviya and more. Because then that each one has one derabanan. But the moment that the father has one derabanan and the child has two derabanans, now the child cannot be motzi the father. Okay? Using that principle, that in order to be motzi someone else, you have to be on the same level, even midrabanan, meaning certainly if one is deraisa and one is derabanan, But even if one is Darabonim, the other one has two Darabonims, the one who has two Darabonims can't be mostly the person with one Darabonim. Now let's come back to our question, whether a Katan can count if he becomes a Gadol on day 10. Can he continue counting with a Bracha? How could we formulate the Chakira? Yes.
The Katan wasn't Motzi himself. Once he turned 13, he wasn't Motzi his future self for the first, all the days before him.
Good. Good. Somebody wants to add something? You said it right. Just we'll flesh it out a little bit. Yeah.
His sphere is, according to most opinions, is Darabanan. So when he becomes Bar Mitzvah, it's a Darabanan. But since he's only, Chayiv, for Chinuch reasons, when he's not Bar Mitzvah, then it's a Darabanan for a Darabanan.
Good. We can say one of two ways. If today the Mitzvah sphere is Daraisa, like the Rambam, the Kotnus Chayiv Darabanan. So he started out Darabanan, and now, at day 10, he's Chayiv Daraisa. Who says the first 10 days can count for that, right? Who says? He was a Derabanan. So maybe it's considered that he never counted. If we say today, Sfiras HaOmer is a Derabanan, but a kid has two Derabanans, right? Well, like everyone else, he's Mechuyev only with Derabanan, but then there's Chinuch, he has two Derabanans. So who says he can continue counting with a Bracha? Yeah?
Would this be a question if he was Yotzi, someone else, an adult Bracha? Meaning if a person said a Bracha?
No, meaning it could be that he can count. The question, can he count with a Bracha? Meaning this... What would the Bahag say in this such a case? Okay, maybe he should still count out of a suffix, but could he count with a bracha? This is a major deal in the Achronim. And there are different opinions about it. What I want to do right now is I want to share with you an approach of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You guys know Lubavitcher Rebbe is a miracle worker. Some of you may even know Lubavitcher Rebbe as saying beautiful ideas in Chassidus. I don't know if you know that he was a major Lamdan. He was a major Lamdan Lohalach. So I want to share with you the approach that he suggested in this sugya. Again, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but if you have a chance, in source number 12 from the Likutei Sichos, again, people know it for the Hasidus, but there's a lot of Divrei Halacha there as well. He suggests the following. The Sefer HaChinuch says, why is it, according to the Bahag, you can't make a bracha if you miss a day? Why? What's the reason? Yeah, because each day is a piece of a mitzvah. Each day is 1/49th of a mitzvah. So there he said, wait a minute. Where have you seen that you make a bracha on 1/49th of a mitzvah? Do we have such a precedent? I'm unaware he knew a lot more Torah that's an understanding of the century, a lot more Torah than I do. Just we don't find such a thing. The Rebbe suggests a completely different pshat of the Bahag. Do you know why, if you miss a day, you don't make a bracha, that you're done, according to the Bahag? Not because each day is 1/49th of a mitzvah. No. Every day is one whole and complete mitzvah unto itself. So if you miss a day, why can't you count? So here the Rebbe says something very fascinating. Because you see, if you have day number 8, then there's day number 9. You have bricks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there's brick 8, okay? And brick 8 has to go here. Now on top of that, you can put brick 9. But what happens if you don't have brick 8? Then there's no 9. The Rebbe says that each day is an independent mitzvah, but if you miss one day, you won't have the next day because you've missed out on day number 9, so therefore, there's no day number 10. Based on that, and the way he explains it, said counting is a mitzius. That's what he calls it. It's a mitzius. Therefore, if a katan counts, even though technically he's not mechuyev in counting because he's potter, he's a katan, the fact that he counted allows him to. If he's not mechuyev, it allows him to pick up the count wherever he is. So if he becomes bar mitzvah day number 10, and he has been counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wait a minute. Those 9 days, he wasn't chayav. Says there, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that he had counted, it allows him to pick up with a bracha in day number 10. The Rebbe, by the way, suggests a number of other nafkaminas to this yisod. Number one, in terms of avodim, let's say an eved started counting, Sfiras HaOmer. And then he gets freed on day number 10. The same issue. And then, of course, since he's a Lubavitcher, he gets another nafkamina. What happens if he starts counting Sfiras HaOmer? I'll come to you in a second. And Mashiach comes on day 10. Now what happens? First 9 days, according to Moshe Rishonim, we're only chayav b'derabanan. And now comes Mashiach, and we're going. And we have to figure out in terms of the korban and things like that and so forth. That's a little bit more involved discussion. But let's say all of a sudden we become chayav daraisa. Do we start counting with a bracha? Do we continue with a bracha? We don't continue with a bracha. So the Rebbe says, he saw it as long as he's been counting. The fact it was not done b'chiyuv, it doesn't make any difference. Bottom line, since there's a metzius of counting, therefore, that was enough. Yeah?
Would you be able to somehow say that a katan could be chayav daraisa in this case? Because if he doesn't count the first 10 days, then he won't be able to pick up the chiyuv.
I don't remember someone saying that. Doesn't mean no one did. You know, to know that someone said something is not always easy, but it's possible. To say that no one said, you have to know everything. So I don't know everything. There were other mehalchim that were suggested that would allow a kohen to say the bracha in a different direction than maybe the mitzvah chinuch continues even after he's turned 13. There are other ways of getting the kid a bracha, but this is the way that the Rebbe suggested. What I want to do right now, just for the few minutes that we have, see, it's quite a few minutes. I want to just develop the hashkafa aspect of what the Rebbe says, because I think it's incredibly important. And that is, without step 8, there's no step 9. And without step 10, there's no step 11. Rav Kook said something very interesting. It took me a long time. I'm not sure I fully understand it right now, but I think I have a little bit of an insight I'd like to share with you. Says Rav Kook, eternity is important, not just for eternity. It's important for the moment. And the moment is important not just for the moment, it's important for eternity. Let me explain to you how I understand Rav Kook means. In order for you to decide what to do right now, this very minute, for what you're going to do for the rest of the day, you have to have the big picture. You have to ask yourself those big questions. What's really important in your life? You can't decide on the day just based on the day, because if you do, you're going to live a very narrow, myopic view. Whenever you make a decision, you have to have the big picture in mind. The eternity is important for the moment. How can you decide who you're going to marry? How are you going to decide you're going to spend the next year if you don't have some kind of a bigger picture of what's eternity? What's really eternal in terms of your values? But the moment forms eternity. Because you know what? You guys have a certain goal, I hope, of becoming a certain kind of a person. How do you do that? So, unfortunately, we kind of don't have a sense that every decision that we make, we're defining ourselves. The kind of person that you're going to become ultimately is going to be based on those little decisions that you make. And if you're going to mess up on those little decisions, what's going to happen in the end of your life? This Gemara, Maseches Brachos, the Yetzer Hara is brought in front of a tzaddik and is brought in front of a rasha and it's killed in front of them and each one cries. Why does each one cry? I'd like to suggest, I mean, I've seen this somewhere, I'm not sure, is that the rasha sees each moment that he gave up. And each moment is just a hair's worth. Just a hair's worth. I mean, whether you make a bracha with kavanah, without kavanah, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a hair's worth. Whether you go to a davening, whether you daven today, you don't daven today, you go to a minyan, don't go to a minyan, whether you battle, all those are little decisions. And the way that the rasha treated those, there was a little decision. I'll frum out later. I'll make the right decision later. I'll do it later. And you know what happened? Nothing. He became nothing. Those little hairs, it was so easy. It was so doable. But he was mezalzel. He disrespected the moment. And therefore he became nothing. The tzaddik saw every decision as a mountain. Because every mountain is made out of a little hair. When you put lots and lots of hairs together, you know, a rhino, as far as I understand, the horn on the nose is not a real horn. It's a whole bunch of little hairs stuck, packed together very, very tightly, which forms a horn. The yisod that the Lubavitch Rebbe is communicating is the power of the moment. If there's no day number 9, gentlemen, there's no day number 10. The way that we build ourselves up is from bottom up. The Gemara in the Masechta Shabbos, some of you have seen it. One of the Amoraim, he heard a certain halacha. He didn't accept it. And years later, he heard it, and he accepted it. And he was very upset about it. I believe it was Rav Papa, if I'm not mistaken. And one of the Amoraim asked him, but you learned it now, what's the big deal? So you learned a few years later. Says the Gemara, the reason why he was upset is, nafkamina la girsa de yamkusa. The learning that you do during your youth. Rashi says, why? Because you remember it better. But others suggest a different reason. Do you know why he was upset? Do you know how you guys learn? You learn a certain technical word over here, and a certain concept over there, and a certain idea over here, and now you have these three pieces of information. You go to Rabbi David Shear, he says something, you put together A, B, C, you understood D. What happens if you are daydreaming during B? You don't have B. You have A and C. Now Rabbi David says something, you missed it, you didn't understand it. And now this, about the person who got A, B, C, and now got D, here's another Shear. In order to understand that, you have to understand D, but you missed on D. Can you imagine how much Torah and how much wisdom you're missing by missing that block? If there's no 9, there's no 10. There are certain opportunities that we are presented with. It's a one-time opportunity. And if you miss it, it's gone. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that... What's the Mishnah? How does the Mishnah go? L'chol dover imloach shavei masai. Imloach shavei masai. The Chiddushi Arim explains the Mishnah of the Loch Shav Masai, not now, when, that different moments offer different opportunities. And if you're not going to take this opportunity, it may very well be, he says it a little bit stronger, I'm being a little bit more liberal in his words, but it may very well be, he says it's actually, it is so, meaning every moment offers a unique opportunity, that will never ever happen again. Okay? But we can, let's say, let me say a little bit more mildly, that this moment may offer opportunities that may never present themselves to you again. And this is the hashkafik chiddush of this halachic yisod of Sfiras HaOmer. Sometimes you miss a step. You didn't just miss step 10. You've missed step 49. Because you've missed everything that leads up to step 49. And we have to appreciate that. I want to close with the following point, which is related but maybe a little different. I said this, I was speaking somewhere 2 days ago. And I said to a group of students, I really think that the next 3 to 4 weeks of your life may be some of the most important weeks of your life ever. And I understood that people were cynical about that because it sounds melodramatic and hyperbolic. But I really believe it, and I'll tell you why. You guys have spent a year here, more than a year here. And you've learned a lot. You've learned a lot of theory. The next 3 to 4 weeks are going to be a test. Or what you actually learned. The Bisefter Rebbe asks, what determines if chinuch was successful? He says, one thing. What does a kid do when no one is watching? No one, you're a bayim or not taking attendance. You can do whatever you want. What do? That determines what happened to that chinuch. You have to realize, everything that's presented, everything that you're faced with, is a unique opportunity. I highly encourage you to think about, how do you want to use the next 3 to 4 weeks? Is it going to show the real you? And who is the real you? It's a unique opportunity, and I highly recommend that you don't waste it. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great day.